I'd like to share something that's been on my heart for a few weeks. Now, if you've known me very long, you'll know that I love to tell stories. I've got lots of stories from my own life to tell, and I enjoy telling other people's stories and Bible stories as well. And of course, stories are central to godly play. Most of godly play stories are from the Bible, but the resources include some stories of great Christian figures from church history. There's even one lesson, we haven't used it yet, but it is in the resources, displaying a blank book, a blank journal. And if the children ask what that is, we say, well, that's the part that's not written yet. It's an invitation for the children to create and write their own story. And it's an invitation for each of us to create and write our own story, the story of each of our lives as God's people. So today I'm going to share with you a story of how I've been recently impacted by two other stories about two great figures from history. And I've entitled this message, Absolute Ideals, Absolute Grace. I was lucky enough to have nearly 4 weeks in Adelaide just recently, over December and January. Apart from the wonderful family times with grandchildren and children, there was plenty of quiet time to do jigsaws and to read. I read a novel, and then I felt like getting into something a little bit more substantial. Oh, and down comes the rain. I was staying with my sister at the time, and in her study, I found a book by Philip Yancey that I'd never read. Who's ever read a Philip Yancey book? Anybody heard of Philip Yancey? No? Okay. He's a really, he's quite an influential writer and he really speaks from the heart. This book was called Soul Survivor, S-O-U-L, Soul. And in each chapter, he tells the story of an influential person, many of them writers, whose lives and writings have shaped his own life and his view of God. And some were people he had known or met, and others were historical figures. Okay. That's way. Okay. I just still got this on. It's probably not helpful, is it? Pick up again. Never mind. That's better. One chapter, can everybody hear me above the rain? Yep, okay. One chapter of the book Soul Survivor was on two Russian writers from the 1800s, Leo Tolstoy and Fyodor Dostoevsky. I'd heard of Tolstoy. He's famous for writing War and Peace. I can see a few nods. People have heard of Leo Tolstoy. But has anybody heard of Fyodor Dostoevsky? I certainly hadn't. Well, I was entranced by Philip Yancey's accounts of these two men. And in reflecting on their influence in his life, he summarised what he had learned as absolute ideals, absolute grace. And these words really settled deep into my mind and spirit. Leo Tolstoy was from a very, very rich family. And as a young man, he inherited a huge estate, including hundreds of serfs, peasants who were in virtual slavery owned by their masters. Well, unlike most landowners who'd keep their distance, Tolstoy spent time with them and got to know them. He was deeply challenged by the quality of their lives. And he suddenly realised that their lives were actually more interesting than his. He began to search for meaning in his life, and he discovered the teaching of Jesus. He tried to put Jesus' teaching into practice. He read Jesus' words to the rich young ruler, "Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." After that, he freed all his serfs. and he began to dispose of his immense estate. He put on peasant clothes, made his own shoes, and started working in the fields. He did great good, organising a 2-year relief effort during a famine, caring for the destitute. He was trying to follow 100% in the footsteps of Jesus. But Tolstoy's story is a tragic one. He was acutely aware of his own failures. He was racked by guilt. He couldn't even find love for his, 16 children. Yancey commented, "What Tolstoy encountered in the Gospels attracted him like a flame. His failure to attain it ultimately consumed him." Tolstoy died a broken, lonely man. He had absolute ideals. That was great. But he never understood God's grace. The other Russian writer that Yancey wrote about was Fyodor Dostoevsky. He'd been living a pretty wild life when he was arrested with a group of other young fellas who were all charged with treason against the ruling Tsar. As you can imagine, a fairly serious offence. After 8 months in prison, he and his fellow prisoners were suddenly taken to a public square. Their death sentences were read out. White burial shrouds were thrown onto their heads. The firing squad got ready. The rifles were cocked. But at the very last instant, a horseman galloped up with an announcement that the Tsar would mercifully commute their sentences to hard labour. Well, this had actually been a setup. The Tsar had organised it all to try and teach these young men a very salutary lesson. Well, for Dostoevsky, it led to transformation. Yancey said, "From that moment, life became for him precious beyond all calculation. Back in the prison, he walked up and down his cell, singing in sheer joy of having life restored." Dostoevsky was sent to Siberia. On his arrival at the prison there, a woman gave him a New Testament. He pored over it and it changed his life. Dostoevsky discovered God's grace and he then shared that with the world once he was free through his novels. Sitting on the plane back to Darwin and reading Yancey's reflections on Tolstoy and Dostoevsky, I was deeply challenged by Tolstoy's attitude to Jesus' teaching. I was really deeply convicted that I have not been aiming for God's ideals. I have not been aiming for God's ideals. I have been settling for a fairly ho-hum, mediocre walk with God for quite a while now. If you think of a high jumper, using that analogy of the high jumper's bar, I've been setting the bar pretty low. Now, two areas of life that came to mind were firstly my prayer for others. Well, yes, I pray each day, but my prayers for other people in need, being perfectly honest, apart from my own family, have been pretty minimal and certainly not serious, not organised, not really from the heart. Secondly, I was convicted with my use of time. Okay, it was school holidays, we all need downtime, but I had been frittering away endless hours, which Dale will correlate, playing games on my phone, and I certainly had not been serious in my walk with God and my own personal discipleship. Well, I resolved to change that this year, and God, in his grace, helped me make a plan. It's not big, it's a little plan, but my plan is that every day that I don't go to work, and when school's on, that's Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and when the school holidays are on, of course, it's every day, that every day I don't go to work, I will aim to spend at least 10 minutes reading a serious book. And I've pinned it down. It's after lunch. It's after my nana nap. I've got to have my nana nap. It's during my coffee, so I'm waking up for my nana nap, and then I'm going to get a serious book, and I'm going to read it for at least 10 minutes, hopefully a bit longer if I've got time. And then I'm going to spend at least 10 minutes praying for others in a focused way. Well, this is actually pretty small for me, and yet it's big, if you know what I mean. It seemed an achievable plan, and wonderfully, so far, I've been able to stick to it. School goes back tomorrow. We'll see what next weekend's like. But so far, so good. Now, I know absolutely that many times I will fail. I will fail in this plan. It might just go to water. And I will fail, and I do fail in other areas of my life. But that's where absolute grace comes in. Like Dostoevsky, my life has been given back to me by Jesus, who died so that I could have abundant life. When I stumble and fall flat on my face, Jesus is there to take my hand, pull me up, dust me off, and say, "It's okay. I forgive you. Keep going, my child. Try again. I am with you on the path." So, what does this all have to do with our story today of the 10 best ways? Well, the 10 commandments were and are God's ideals. They are truly the 10 best ways to live. Now, of course, as Christians, we tend to focus a bit more on the New Testament teaching of Jesus rather than the Old Testament law, which is fair enough. So let's think for a moment. What did Jesus say about the commandments? Let me read Matthew 22, 34 to 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Absolute ideals. Jesus himself raised the bar. Obeying the law, as Christians, is not just a matter of don'ts, like don't kill, don't steal, don't do this, don't do that. It's do. Do love God with all your heart. Do love our neighbour as ourselves. We can't ever measure up, folks. I can't ever measure up. And yet, by the absolute grace of God, he pulls us back onto our feet, he dusts us off, and he says, "It's okay, I forgive you. Keep going, my child. Try again. I am with you on the path." Let's pray. God, you know our hearts. You know whether each of us needs more help in understanding your absolute ideals or in knowing your absolute grace. Be with us. Show us if there is a way that we should be raising the bar in our walk with you. And thank you that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen.